Father God, I thank you so much just for that message and really for all of us, Lord Jesus. It's a great reminder. What are we called to do in our own community, Lord Jesus? Some of us...
Does it? No? Okay. How about this one?
Good morning.
Does this work? Oh, right on. Okay. So... My name is Kayla, and this is my husband, Dennis, in case you don't know who we are. We've been married for 4 years, and since then and also before then, we've been sort of on a journey finding out exactly what God wants us to be doing with our life, what that looks like, and where he wants us. So this eventually will bring us to kind of God breaking our hearts to a very real reality of sex trafficking in our world. And I'll kind of let Dennis explain a little more about the beginning of that. And if you have heard us talk about this before, I promise you're not going to get the same thing. You might get a little bit of the same thing, but we have some new stories to tell you today.
You gonna stand right there?
Where do you need room?
No, you can come back if you want. So, I guess first off, it would be good to clarify. I don't think we'll so much be preaching today as we will be sharing a testimony of what God has done in our lives. And we think God will shine through that. Turn that off before someone decides to call. So, our journey, where do we start? Kayla, can I have the first slide? So, pop quiz, I want you to think, who is your community? You didn't have to answer, but thank you. Who is your community, all right, and how is God asking you to serve them? So, I think, do I have to explain community? I think we're okay. Cindy set us on the right path there. So just start thinking about that, and we'll come back to that later on. So who is your community, and how is God asking you to serve them? All right, now, let's move on to the reason we're here. So Kayla and I, in 2014, we started working on a business idea, and we started off with a business called Let Freedom Reign, which a lot of you have heard of. And we started off selling bags and purses. And a lot of people know the bags and purses part, but maybe don't know how we arrived there because it seems sort of random. So now you have to go back to 2012. No, let's go back to 1987. So in 1987, I was born in Kenya. Oh, whoa.
I was born too, but here.
But before me. So in 1987, sometime after Kayla, I was born and in Kenya. And then in 2012, did I hit that right? We'll say 2012. 2011, 2012, I had an opportunity to go back to Kenya for a portion of time. And I was there, my aunt made me this shirt. I was so intrigued with the whole process of making this shirt. Because I was kind of in the mix, telling her I want this, oh, I want that. And it's a sweet shirt. And so when I got back home, I decided, okay, I'm going to try and take up sewing myself. So... my cousin Faith is not here, but I borrowed her sewing machine, and I started trying to learn and started trying to put stuff together. And after weeks of struggle, I made a bag, my first bag. And I sort of set that aside and said, that was a miserable experience. I'm glad I have something out of it, but I don't ever want to do that again. And that's where I thought that would end. But then a few years later, Kayla's like, oh, why don't you try making me something? So, did the same thing, got a sewing machine. And that sort of repeated itself a couple times. I got a sewing machine off Kijiji that was no good. Eventually got rid of that. I got another sewing machine. It's now our microwave table in our house. Until finally I bought one off of Amazon. That's the final sewing machine for right now. But then out of this sort of started the idea, maybe there's some sort of business or something here. So we started exploring how that looked like. And we just wanted to make something that we believed in that was good. So I started searching for a company that would make bags in a way that was different and something that was unique that we could sell it that way.
I just wanted to say we decided pretty quickly that Dennis was not going to be the maker of our
bass. I wasn't
going to.
Yes, not like for lack of talent, but for lack of desire to be doing that maybe all day. So we found this amazing company in India called Freeset, and all we knew is that they were working with women who had previously been in some sort of slavery, usually in the sex trade, and that they were trying to put out a life for them that was a good life, and they were trying to do that through the making of products and selling those products. So we partnered with this company, and we started getting stuff from them, and we launched our business. And from there, other things have come along, and we've grown, and we've learned, and part of that is part of our journey. And so this leads us to this year, which is 2016, where Kayla and I, because of our connection with Freeset, had an opportunity to go to India and learn more about how the stuff is made and the connection that there is. Because as we, at first, initially, we didn't realize, but this it had been started by missionaries in India who had seen a need in their community. And sort of this had come to light slowly, and we'd been affirmed more in this as we've been in the process. So
So in January this year, Dennis and I got on a plane to India. I'm just going to, give you a warning. When I was there, I cried a lot. Now that I'm back, I cry maybe more. That would be, I blame my pregnancy for that. But just so you know, this is emotional for me, and it was then, but now it's kind of worse when I talk about it. So just I'm sorry if that happens. But when we were going there, we kind of knew the reality of what we were stepping into, but I don't know if we were quite emotionally prepared necessarily for what we were going to see. But Dennis is going to kind of explain where we were first.
Okay. Can I have control of that? Thank you. Okay, so, yes. I don't know why people don't use this, by the way, more often. This is India, as you can see. Where we went was the state of West Bengal, which is right here. And it's sort of funny, it's like, why is West Bengal on the east side? But because originally, when India became its own independent nation, this country right here, Bangladesh beside it, was part of India. But because of, India now is predominantly Hindus, but because of common tension between Hindus and Muslims in India, they became a separate country as long as Pakistan, which is at the top as well, and so became their own country. So in here, people of the same ethnic group, the Bengalis, live in the East Bengal, which is now Bangladesh, and in India, you have West Bengal.
I don't know really where we were. I just knew we got there, and that was good. And there's a lot of intense stuff that we saw and we did while we were there, but before we kind of get into that, Dennis is going to show you a little more of the culture shock in a fun way that we had, or when we look back on it, it was fun. While we were there, at the moment, usually not fun.
Okay, so let's go back to 1994 when we moved to the U.S. Now, we went to a church that was very, I don't know if you guys had this, but the slide projectors that the person would come and there was an extension and they'd click and the next picture would show. And when the missionaries came, there was always the slide projector. I wish we had that still. It would be so much more of a more fun object lesson. But we'll show some of the pictures. So this is us. Now, those who don't know, Kayla is extremely afraid of heights. On top of here, it's hard to see, but we're on top of a bus, a moving bus. Just trying to hold on for dear life. So Kayla's putting on a brave face, but it was not that easy to get her up there. And then if you notice over here in this portion, this is water. So in fact, we're actually on a bridge, on a bus, water below, and the bridge looks like it was built in 1960 and no one's taken a look at it ever since. Personally for me, in India, the food is amazing. If I could eat Indian food for the rest of my life, I think I'd be perfectly content. It's just fantastic. And it was there. We had the opportunity to eat so much amazing food and be hosted by people who invited us into their home and with amazing hospitality. This while we were there, we were with a group of people. So we were with some people from Nepal, some people from Australia, New Zealand, the UK, and the US. As well, we were interacting with many people from India while we were there. And this is just a picture of our group. So I have found to be a thing when I think we all go to the bathroom, like I'm assuming we do, no matter where we are. But people have different ways which they feel that that can be done. Right here, I'm on a train, and I'll explain what's going on. So I'm in a train, and I was all proud because I thought, you know what, there's not going to be toilet paper in that bathroom. So I was all proud that I'm taking toilet paper. And then I arrive to the train and find this. I'm like, what does someone do with this whole situation? Like, where do you start to sort of try and conceptualize what's going on? So, you see these two foot rests here. You put your feet there. It's there to help you. So I'm showing you. So this is me. So you put your feet there, and it's a good guidance of where you should put your feet. And then in front of you, there's a bar so you can hold on because you're on a train, so you're moving back and forth. And then when you're doing your business, this right here is a hole. And as you can see over there, that's the tracks underneath moving. So when you're finished, it's sending it all onto India itself. But it's quite the experience that way. In the bedroom we were sleeping in, one day someone told Kayla, don't leave the doors open.
No one told me. People told other people.
Okay, people told other people apparently. Don't leave the doors open. There's cats in this building. The cats will get into your room and whatever. You don't want the cats around. So we left the door open once, and then we came home to find whatever this is here. And then, like, Kayla was like, oh, it's okay. We'll just clean it and sleep on this. I was like, no, we're not sleeping on this tonight. So
that was before we found it. We just found initially the cat.
Okay.
In our bed.
So as well, there was this weird habit that whenever we went out in public, like we were out, we saw some places that are World Heritage Sites, and these are like incredible places that if you have the opportunity to see, you have to see, and it should be the thing that's most incredible. But people in India were like most amazed that there's these foreigners, so like they'd be ignoring this like whatever they're looking at just so they can take pictures of you. So this is kind of how it looked like. And as well, to sort of form, India is a different place in the sense that you'll see things that you won't regularly see. So one day I was sitting, we were in the country, and I was sitting on the balcony, and I was reading. And in the process of 5 minutes, I saw this 13-year-old boy delivering whatever this is on his motorcycle, as safe as that is. I saw this 5-year-old boy over here on a 10-foot ledge helping pass stuff from the top level to the bottom level. And then I saw this man doing his own sort of construction while testing his high wire abilities, all within 5 minutes, just sitting there trying to read, and you can't read when that's happening. As well, it was just an incredible experience being able to travel in the countryside and see different things. And the food is, I've said it's incredible. Now, I remember there was a friend who I told him, oh, we're going to India, and I told him a while back, and we talked about it. Then later on, when he saw something on Facebook, he's like, oh, yeah, make sure you don't eat the street food. It's a good idea not to. And by then, I'd really made a habit out of eating street food, for better or for worse, because it could have whatever effect on your stomach. But it's still delicious, and this is just us out on an occasion with some members from our group. And then as well, in our last week, we got to go to Nepal and visit Jenny and Clem and meet River, which some of you guys will be meeting River really soon as well.
So that was more of just kind of the fun, relatively scary things that we did while we were there. But what we were there for is to visit Freeset, this business that we had come across, and learn from them and just see what they do. So we, you know, just walking off the plane, there's some serious culture shock happening. But there's also a lot of heartbreaking realities that we saw while we were there. We spent our time in India in an area called Sanagachi. Sanagachi is an area that's only a few blocks, but it's the biggest red light district in India. There are about 10,000 women in the sex trade in those blocks. I should have done the other stuff. These women are literally what you would hear them refer to are like they're working the line, and you didn't really understand what that means until you got there, and just like there's like you walk down the street and there's women outside their houses or their rooms, and they're just like lined up, just waiting, and so and that was like you'd go at 8 a.m. and it'd be the same thing as if you were there at like 2 a.m. There's maybe more at night, but they're still there. They're there all day. Wasn't hidden. It wasn't something that you had to look for. It was just very obviously there. And so with that, our hearts kind of broke every time we walked out the door. But there was an amazing hope that we saw while being there. And that hope was Jesus was there. So we got to the privilege of meeting a lot of just amazing people that lived in this place. This place is arguably like one of the most dirty, disgusting places in the world. Like literally, it's just filthy. And we got to meet people who lived there because they wanted to be Jesus to the people that lived there. Because these people desperately needed to know that someone loved them. So I'm going to show you a short video about one of the women that works at Freeset. So Freeset started about 11 years ago and started with about 12 women. This lady was one of the first 12 women to be hired. Now they have about 250 women working for them. So she is one of the amazing people that we had the privilege of meeting while we were there. She cooked our amazing food, actually. That Dennis showed you at the beginning, and she would just, every time you saw her when she was making your dinner, she would just give you this amazing hug, and that was just, yeah, one of the best parts of your whole day. Yeah, so I'll get Dennis to show you that video.
तेरा नाम सुबह शाम यीशु तेरा नाम वो जो पावन सुंदर नाम वो जो पावन सुंदर नाम सुबह शाम यीशु तेरा नाम सुबह शाम यीशु तेरा नाम वो जो पावन सुंदर वो जो पावन सुंदर नाम वो जो पावन सुंदर नाम ना। के मन में सुख पाए, शोक मिटे मन में सुख पाए, निर्बल को बलवान बनाए, निर्बल को बलवान बनाए, श्रद्धा से आए जो दान, श्रद्धा से आए जो दान, सुबह शाम यीशु तेरा नाम, सुबह शाम यीशु तेरा नाम, वो जो पावन सुंदर नाम, वो जो पावन सुंदर नाम, वो जो पावन सुंदर नाम,
one of the stories, and a lot of them, of the 250 women that we met, are very, very similar. But actually, we're going to spend our time now telling you about a couple of amazing people that we had the honor meeting in India that were so inspirational and lived a life that we'll never forget. But first, I'm just going to explain to you a little bit about Hindu and Muslim culture in India and what that looks like. So India is predominantly Hindu. However, there are sections of Muslims in certain places. And generally, as a rule, Hindus and Muslims do not get along. Like, they'll do business, but they don't generally get along. Hindus have many gods, and when you tell them about Jesus, they often don't have a problem just taking him and adding him to their collection. Whereas Muslims, on the other hand, will often persecute their own people if they leave the Muslim faith to follow Jesus. So Dennis is going to tell you a little bit about one of the people that we met in India who changed the way we see church, community, and outreach.
So Preset has many staff working, foreign staff who usually come on a volunteer basis, who are usually sent by missions organizations, and then local staff who would be paid. And one of the gentlemen we had a chance to meet, his name was Bashir, and his wife was Aisha. Now, those are not their real names. It's not some sort of secrecy thing where they're in trouble if we know their real names, but we will explain a little bit more. There's a good story behind why those are not their real names. And so they have local staff and foreign staff, and Bashir is one of the local staff that came along partway through the journey and was so inspired by the work that they were doing with women who are in these incredibly terrible circumstances, and he became a part of that. So Bashir grew up in a middle-class family in India and had a relatively good life, but was still depressed and suffered with depression for much of his life, and to a point that he decided that he was going to commit suicide. And for a Hindu, when they commit suicide, they believe that you would burn the body because that would be, I guess, preparing it best for the next cycle of life. So he had the kerosene ready to light himself on fire, and he went to get a match or some way to spark the fire. And he had a vision of Jesus, and Jesus spoke to him before he could do it. And he had a sort of a knowledge of Jesus, maybe because he heard, and you know Christians, but had never known Jesus before. And so he became hungry to know who this Jesus is and who had stopped him, who had spoken to him. And so he became, he searched and he became a Christian, and he grew in his faith, and he had a chance to go to Bible college. And while in Bible college, he started feeling this pull that he was supposed to work with Muslim people. And it's sort of a bizarre thing because he was a Hindu at birth, became a Christian, and then to move into working with Muslims. So he shaped and he begun to shape his life around that mission and how that looked like.
So Aisha, who is now Bashir's wife, also grew up in a Hindu family, and they were the highest caste, so she had a very good life. And like Bashir, though, she was very depressed, sad, and lonely, and one day planned to commit suicide. And in the process of her going through her plan to commit suicide, she remembered one day that one of the missionary organizations that was around had given her a tract. And she decided, okay, well, maybe I can do this another day. I'm just going to write them, and I need hope. So she wrote them a letter, and they wrote her a letter back, and she started this constant communication sneakily in her house. And these people who were writing on the other end of these letters were just telling her about Jesus and his love and the truth. And at this point, she decided, I'm going to leave my family and just follow Jesus wherever he leads me. And so she met Bashir, who has a kind of like very similar story. They never had anyone like knock at their door and say, this is Jesus. They both kind of just had these amazing stories. They met, they got married, and they decided that God was calling them to reach the Muslim community. So when I was just thinking about them, and I came across this verse, and this is the best verse I could find to describe these two people. So in 1 Corinthians 9:19-23, it says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I become weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this all for the sake of the gospel, so I might share in its blessings. So Bashir and Aisha, who at this point was not their names, read this and took it very seriously. So they decided that they're going to grow their hair. Bashir grew his beard. They changed their names from their obvious Hindu family names to new names, to Muslim names. They bought Muslim clothing and moved into a Muslim neighborhood, and no one ever assumed that they were not Muslim. So while living in this neighborhood, they began just loving their neighbors, and decided, after they'd kind of earned some like credibility with them, they decided to start telling them about Jesus, facing whatever prosecution came, so that these people would know the truth.
And it, when she says they immersed themselves completely, they immersed themselves. So even there's a different way that Muslims in India would speak to each other, so they had to learn that way. And there was a transformation in the way that they saw their lives, even to the point that they told their Hindu family, you can't come visit us, because if you come visit us and you come to this community, we'll be discovered, or we will be seen to be outsiders, and in some way all the work we're trying to do will be lost if you come visit us. So it's real for them, it's everything for them, and it cost a lot for them, and it cost a lot for them during this time in their life. And in Luke 14:26-27, Jesus talks about it costing this much, to the point of having to hate your family. And you always wonder, how does that look like? How would it be to tell your people you can't come anymore because this is so important, and to have that level of commitment? So their ministry grew, and along the line, Bashir became acquainted with Freeset. And the way he describes it is, he was on the train, waiting for the train one day, and he sees a white man pass by, and he thinks to himself, and he hears God tell him, you have to go talk to that white man. And he's dressed like a Muslim, they're in a Muslim part of India, and he comes up to him and he tries to emphasize, hello, I am Pastor Bashir, and he goes to introduce himself, and he makes sure he wants to hear it, hello, I am Pastor Bashir, and he keeps repeating it, and they form this relationship with Carrie Hilton, who's one of the founders of Freeset, who is a missionary who had moved there. And they begin this relationship, and Bashir's life now enters a different phase. And along with that comes they have established two churches. And one of those churches is geared to help reach Hindus, people who are coming from a Hindu culture, and the other one is geared to help people who are coming from a Muslim culture. And so the one I want to talk about is the one in the Muslim in the Muslim setting, where we had a chance to go to both. Now, there was people, and the way they set it up and the way they would decorate the building would be so that if people are coming for the first time trying to learn about Jesus, they would do so and learn about faith in a way that makes sense to them. So even in the way they picked the floor patterns, even in the way the sign that they had, even in how they referred to the Bible, they would do it in a way that Muslims would understand that coming from their way, but they would know that Jesus is Lord. So we heard testimonies, amazing, incredible testimonies of people going through so much. One person said for 4 years they hadn't been able to come to church because it was too dangerous. But something was different that morning and they felt that they should come, and it's because Jesus is Lord. And another person said, I was persecuted so badly in my community that we had to up and leave and go to a different community. But it's okay because Jesus is Lord. Story after story of people putting everything out on the line to be a Christian in their community, and it's because Jesus is Lord. Women brought testimonies and songs. We got a chance to be around people who were passionately pursuing, who you knew they believed because they were risking it to believe, and you could see the passion and you could feel being in there, the privilege that it was to be amongst those people. And afterwards, we had a chance to share communion with this incredible group of people as they fed us. And it was this incredible blessing. But I want to explore more, what can we learn from Bashir and Aisha and the way they lived their life and the way they designed their life, and how does that look like for us? So I want to read in John 1. So in the beginning was the Word. Actually, I can give people a chance to turn there if they want, or to use your phone. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So we see the creating God, the God who with his very words brings the world into existence. So we're introduced to that. And as we move forward in verse 14 of John 1, we see that God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. While I was reading this, a funny note came up on my Bible as I was reading it, and it talked about the Greek. So I'm going to talk about now the Greek. Now, I'm not studied in that way, so when you hear me say it, don't think it's anything special. But in the Greek, when referring to this, it says that the Word came and made his tent among us. So, or pitched his tent, whatever you do with a tent. I don't camp much. So just imagine that imagery, that God is coming and making his tent among us. And in the message, it even translated that the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. I know some people don't like it, but it seems to actually be a more apt translation of this verse. But this tent imagery is awesome because it referring to, if someone is reading this and they're thinking God in a tent, they would think of God in the Old Testament and in Exodus when God resided in the tabernacle before the temple was made. And so there's this incredible link where God resided in a tent in the middle of his community. So in Exodus 29, 44, so I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, and I will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. Then I will dwell among them, the Israelites, and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt, so that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. So, from the Old Testament, moving to the New Testament, in two different ways, we see that God wants to be right in the midst of his people. And all that comes with that, because we know who we are, and we are a messy bunch at best. Not at best, we're a messy bunch. and we know the way human life is, but God wants to be there in the midst of that, and so Jesus physically comes to be, and is not afraid to be in the mess that we sometimes call life, and he calls us to a similar ministry in following him, to be out as we're out there, that we are in the midst of humanity in that mess, bringing a light to that, if we're to follow his ministry in this way. The story of Bashir and Aisha and the story of Freeset are people who move into neighborhoods and ask God, how do we show people who you are? How do we love our neighbors as ourselves? And each time God had answered in a unique way. And in the same way, we can do the same. Because some of us are called to India, perhaps. And then some of us are called to Birchhaven, perhaps. And then some people are called to the Ministry of Natural Resources, Marinus. Where is that? I can't find him. Oh, there you are. Some of us, maybe that's our community. But we all have a place that God has called us. And God wants us to be present there for him, telling people and acting in a way that shows people that he is real and he loves them and he's tangible and he has a better life for them. And as for us, the body here, what can it teach us about how we interact together? Because we saw people who were so passionately committed to what it is that it is to follow Christ, that coming to church was even a challenge to them sometimes. And so for us, when it's not, we need to be equally as committed. We can't choose to be part way in. If we're going to do it, we have to do it all the way. There's no Canadian Jesus, and then there's an Indian Jesus, and the Indian Jesus is really demanding, but the Canadian Jesus is not. It's the same, and it requires sacrifice from us. A partial Christianity does not match with the one of the Bible, and it does not match with the one that we have witnessed and in India and the one that we witness in other places in the world. And we meet here to serve and love each other and prepare each other to go and be present in our communities and serve and love and teach people about God out there. Imitating Jesus, the camping Savior who pitches his tent in your neighborhood. That's what we're called for.
So we're just bringing up that question again that we asked you at the beginning, and just something to maybe think about and pray about this week or today, and just ask God, who is your community, and how is he asking you to serve them? What does that look like for you? Just kind of like, this church is an amazing community for us. It's where we kind of start. This is one of our communities, and then when we go home, then God is calling us to a different community as well. And so, to not take each other for granted, and just what that looks like to you, like when that guy got up in the Muslim, like, the church that was for converted Muslims, and said, like, I haven't been to church in 4 years because it's been too dangerous. Every Sunday I try and it's not safe. I don't think I'll make it. And I remember days when I was like, the snowstorm. I think I'll stay home. And just realizing how important it is to get to church and fellowship and be together so that we can go out into our other communities and what that looks like. So Dennis and I just wanted to share a little bit about our heart for India and what that taught us while we were there, and our heart that now that we are here. We've had an amazing opportunity to meet Liz and Andrew recently, started coming to Lakeshore in College and Careers, and who's going on the world race. And so I immediately stole their India jar that they're doing, collecting people's loose change bless India. So I'm going to put that at the back, and if you want to drop your loose change or like an encouragement note or a prayer for them, they leave in October to go to many different countries, but I'm mostly just praying for them to Well, they're in India, because that's where our heart is.
Yeah, and so also our passion as we were there, because you saw that video, and it can be a very tough video to watch. Our passion was there grew, and the way we envision our life together about being something where we are for freedom and working towards particularly that cause, but running a business where we are about freedom and about showing people God's love tangibly that way through the freedom that brings and the amazing testimony that comes from that. So we are about that, and we'd love to talk to people about it. We'd love to hear ideas. We'd love to know people who want to get involved in some way, in any creative way. So we'd love to talk to you guys about that. So thank you guys for praying for us while we were gone. Thank you for being a supportive group of people. And just thank you for the love that we experience when we're here. And just thank you so much for listening to us.
Awesome. So we'll just like to pray, and then we'll invite the worship.